2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Dota into DFS pros.
Welcome to the DFS Army MMA Killshot Podcast for UFC 234. Our main event is Robert Whittaker taking on Kelvin Gastelum for the middleweight championship of the world. I am your host, the Daily Fantasy Sniper, here with the boss of the DFS Army, the fantasy football geek Kevin Allen, and the lead MMA contributor for DFS Army, Kyle Big Marley. Guys, how you doing? You ready for this card?
No doubt. I'm excited for a pay-per-view, even though this one being in Australia still has some obscure fighters on it, but a little bit better than a Brazilian card from last week, which was a complete disaster.
Yeah, it really was. And this pay-per-view is pretty terrible aside from the top two fights. So I'm not really too stoked to watch it, but I'm excited to make some money and talk fights with you.
See, I think I wouldn't pay $60 for this card. Hint, hint. That's all I'm going to say. I do think it's going to actually be a pretty fun card. I think there are three pay-per-view caliber fights. Like, I think on most pay-per-views, Ricky Simon, Hani Yahya would be a good opening the pay-per-view card. I think we're going to have a ton of finishes. My hot take on the RotoWire podcast was I think we're going to get 9 or 10 finishes on this card, which can make for a very interesting DraftKings night. So let's dive into that. This is your first time listening to the podcast. Welcome. For non-members, the free section here, we're going to break down the main card, the first five fights. We will talk about the fights themselves, break them down, and then we will all, one of us will do that, and then all three will chime in with our attack for the fight in terms of how we're going to play it on DraftKings, cash games, GPP exposures, who we like, who we don't like, ceilings, floors, all that fun stuff. If you are not a DFS Army VIP, what are you waiting for? Jump over, become a VIP, where you'll listen to the breakdowns of all 12 fights. There's also the research station, which has got all kinds of stats, odds, breaks down, everything you want in there. The domination station is the lineup optimizer, which any good DFS site needs. Kyle has what he writes weekly. He calls it an article. It's more a book on each card. I have my own GPP cash game and cash game rankings. Eric F., who also writes for the site, has a free breakdown up the full amount. And then, of course, access to all of us in Slack chat, a really fun community in there, all that. And plus access to something similar offering to all Daily Fantasy Sports, which you should definitely check out. Really up your DraftKings, FanDuel, Fantasy Draft, your game and all across all platforms will go up. You can use any one of the following codes: podcast for 20% off VIP membership. My code is Sniper. Kyle's code is Sleeveless. Geek's code is Geek. Whoever you like the most, plug in a code, and we'll see you in chat. Now that we got through that, guys, let's break down these fights. The first fight of the pay-per-view card is Jimmy Crute taking on Sam Alvey. Jimmy Crute is the favorite. He's 8,300, taking on Alvey at 7,900. Crute is the favorite at minus 135. The comeback on Sam Alvey is plus 115. This fight, oddly enough to me, is an over, over 2.5 rounds, minus 145. Crute wins inside the distance, plus 381. Alvey inside the distance is plus 215. Jimmy Crute is a 22-year-old kid. He's from Australia. Won his UFC debut against Paul Craig. High volume, has a little bit of grappling, interesting prospect. Whereas Sam Alvey, we know what Alvey is. He's a counterpuncher, and that's really it. He tried to be first in his last fight, and he got knocked out by Little Nog, which is not good at this stage in his career. Alvey has that counter right hand that puts people to sleep. Jimmy Crute is a volume striker who's going to move forward, which could play into Alvey's hands. Ultimately, though, as much as I like Sam Alvey, he's also moving up from middleweight to light heavyweight. He did that last fight. This could be his third fight at light heavyweight now that I think about it. Jimmy Crute, for me, is going to have too much volume. I wouldn't play either of these guys in cash because Sam Alvey's fights tend to turn pretty boring. But if I was going to play either one of them, it would be Jimmy Crute for the volume and the potential grappling. I do think that is his path to victory. It's also, I'm going to have a couple shares of each of these guys because Crute in a decision win, I think he's got enough volume to score decent. And if Alvey wins, his ceiling is that first round knockout. Not a ton, but I'll have a taste of each guy in GPPs. Kyle, let's start with you for this fight. Feel the same way I do, different, somewhere in the middle on Crute and Alvey?
Yeah, this is my least favorite fight on the card. And I really think if you're making less than 20 lineups, you should just fade this fight altogether. Alvey fights in general just tend to be slower paced. He's got that heavy right hand, so people are weary of it. So it kind of slows down their pace, and it just makes the fight as a whole low scoring for DraftKings. They're just terrible unless there's a finish. He's hard to finish. Crute's never been finished, so I don't want to rely on that. I see this going to a decision. I think it's going to be pretty back and forth. Nothing crazy happening. And I just really have no interest in rostering it on DraftKings. I'm going to have 150 lineups, so I'll probably have like 3 or 4 Crute, 2 or 3 Sam Alvey, just in case. But that's how little I think of this fight. I think Crute has the higher ceiling, but man, I think Alvey probably has the harder hands. Maybe he can get a knockout early. I don't know. It's just, I'm going to avoid it. I think you should too, unless you're making over 20 lineups. That's when I would start thinking about using it. And totally avoid it in cash.
Geek, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the same. The thing that's interesting about this fight more than the two fighters is just the salaries at $8,300 and $7,900. It's in that sweet spot of, you know, if you can get a Hundy out of either of these guys, that's great. But that's certainly the ceiling for both guys. Alvey never puts on any volume on anybody. We've seen Alvey get taken down, and we saw him get knocked out. And I think the Alvey sort of run of miracle knockouts, I don't know. I think it's got to come to an end, and I think it's coming to an end here. He couldn't knock out Nate Marquardt a couple years ago. I mean, you know, there are some fights with Alvey that you just say, you know, he lost to lighties. So Rashad Evans was a split decision. Like, he's not exactly tearing through anybody who's decent. So, yeah, he beats, like, he can get a miracle knockout, but I don't see it happening here. This kid has a great chin so far, has never been knocked out. He's got some wrestling. He's got some striking. If I was interested in anyone, I'm interested in Crute, but I agree with Kyle. It's not a fight I want a whole lot of exposure to. Again, outside of the fact that it's cheap. And if Crute can get the knockout on Alvey, who was just knocked out by Nogueira not long ago, Little Nog, and, you know, Little Nog's old. Like, maybe Alvey's, you know, maybe he's not as iron-chinned as he used to be. And, you know, we'll get him knocked out again here, and Crute will score a big score. So I'll have some exposure in 150, but, yeah, not out of 20. Let's put it that way.
All right, let's move on to the lone women's MMA fight of the card, Montana De La Rosa at 8,800, taking on Nadia Kassem at 7,400. De La Rosa, the favorite, minus 255. Kassem, the comeback, is plus 215. Fight does not go to decision, is a pick'em, minus 110 apiece, over 2.5 rounds, minus 130. Pretty interesting for a women's MMA fight. Rosa, De La Rosa inside the distance, plus 140. Kassem inside the distance, plus 750. So those odds obviously clearly favor De La Rosa. Kyle, what do you have for a fight breakdown?
So, yeah, I think De La Rosa's the clear play because she's going to be the one that wants to get it to the ground. And if she does get it to the ground, she's probably going to finish the fight via submission. So you're probably looking at like 95 to 100 points with that. My issue is I think she's going to be pretty popular. Everything I've listened to is talking her up. Everyone sees that path to victory. So I'm kind of seeing a little bit of value on Kasem here. Maybe she can win a decision, and really I don't like any underdogs on this card, so I think any win from any underdogs could put you on that winning lineup. And if she's going to be basically unowned at $7,400, I think if she could put up 70 in a decision win, that can be done. And I think Rose is getting stuck on the feet. She can't get takedowns. She wins a stand-up fight. So I think she's got to get it to the ground. She's never got a secret yet. Maybe she expects to want more exposure to De La Rosa. I'm just worried how chalky she'll be, but I think she's in play in all formats.
Kevin, were you able? Sorry, did Kyle cut out for you for a second there? I got him back eventually, but
yeah, Kyle, I missed a little bit of what you said there. Your internet is a little spotty, but I think I got the gist of it. And part of what you're saying is what I think you were saying is part of what I was thinking. Was everybody talking about Montel De La Rosa's wrestling, but getting it to the ground and all of this? But I don't know where that's coming from. She hasn't gone from a takedown. I mean, she's a high level wrestler, no question. But she hasn't gone for takedowns so far in her UFC career. So, you know, she's not a relentless.
Two subs though.
Wrestler, yeah, she has a ground game, but she's not aggressively going for it. I think more importantly, neither one of these gals is all that good. Kasim seems, I don't know how the hell she's in the UFC level bad. And she barely beat Alex Chambers, who is basically a human punching bag of a female fighter. So I guess she has a UFC win, which is great, 2 years ago. I think De La Rosa is gonna take it. She's got a little bit of wrestling. She has more. Everything about her game is better. But paying $8,800, yeah, she's going to need the quick sub. And even that, you know, there's another way this could go, Kyle, and that is she takes her down and just grounds and pounds and piles up strikes for a while. So, you know, there are some, I guess, paths to a good score. I don't mind De La Rosa, you know, in most formats, but, you know, I don't think she's going to knock anybody out. The inside of distance prop is really good, and Kasim is just not interesting for me at all here.
Yeah, I'm the leader of the Montana De La Rosa fan club this week. Look, Nadia Kasim was taken down in every round against Alex Chambers, who should be fighting at atomweight. She's a natural 105er. And in that fight, Kasim missed weight by 5 pounds. And the difference being is that every time that fight went to the ground, Kasim then swept Chambers. She's not going to do that against De La Rosa, who has very good BJJ. She has 3 losses, by the way. If you look on DraftKings, she's 7-4 or 3. Her losses are to Mackenzie Dern, Cynthia Calvillo, and what was the other one? Somebody else real good that off the top of my head, of course, I've lost. She has legit losses on her record. She's been in there with killers. What Kevin touched on, the one thing I am worried about is that she doesn't shoot for a takedown. If we get 3 minutes in and she is not shooting for a takedown, I'm going to be screaming at my TV in my already hoarse voice. But the second this fight hits the ground, I'm liking her chances to get a finish. I don't know how popular she's going to be. I hear some people talking about her. But as Kyle mentioned, we're hurting for underdogs in this card, and people want to go to this $9,000 range that we'll talk about later in the podcast, as well as she's only $100 cheaper than Robert Whittaker, who's in our main event, and we're going to talk about. I'm not sure how popular they're going to be. Also, I've seen most people tend to avoid women's MMA fights. I'm interested where the ownership is going to fall on this one. I will probably be overweight to the field on Montana De La Rosa and just praying she shoots for a takedown, because as Kevin said again, I don't think she's Nadia Kasim is anywhere near UFC caliber. Alright, next fight. Ricky Simone, 8,200, taking on Hani Yahya at 8,000. The line continues to close. Simone's still the favorite for now, although many sites I'm looking at, this is now a dead pick'em. It is the pick'em fight in DraftKings, 8,200, 8,000. Five dimes, who I'll go by for the podcast, has Simone as a slight favorite, minus 115. Yahya, minus 105. Same as the last fight, it is a pick'em, does not go to decision versus seeing the judges' scorecards, minus 110 apiece. Yahya inside the distance, plus 165. Versus Simone inside the distance, plus 480. So that favors Yahya in terms of GPP, straight odds-wise. But, Kevin, you take the fight breakdown on this one.
I'm fascinated by this fight. Fascinated. Because you basically have a really interesting scenario. We've seen it play out a few times before, but there's some slight differences. So basically you have Rani Yahya, who is Damian Maia part two in a smaller version. An incredible BJJ practitioner, a submission specialist. This guy submits everyone, right? He's going up against Ricky Simone, who is one of the better, I guess, offensive wrestlers in the division, maybe in the UFC. The guy is a beast. He goes for takedowns. He gets 7, 8, 9 takedowns, advanta, all that shit. Now, what's fascinating for me is Yaya going to be able to take this guy who's a super wrestler down? Is Simone going to go for takedowns against Yaya? Is he going to put himself into Yaya's BJJ area, right? So I don't know. It's really fascinating. Normally, if this was, I mean, we saw Colby Covington versus Damian Maia. We saw all those wrestlers versus Damian Maia where they went in with a specific plan that, hey, I'm a wrestler. This guy can't take me down. I'm not going to let him take me down, and I'll just piece him up on the feet. And that's how they got their wins. Do we know if Simone is going to, I mean, like, is Simone going to approach this that way? Or will he say, no, I do takedowns. I'm going to take this guy down. I'm going to pound him out. And I don't care that he's a BJJ specialist. Now, I think if he does that, that would be a terrible mistake. Which is why I think Yaya has a little advantage in that sense. You know, I think that Simone might try to take this to the ground because that's all he does. If you watch his fights, he's not much of a striker. Not that he can't strike, but he doesn't do it. He goes for the takedowns and he tries to smash you, ground and pound or wrestle beat you. And so it's going to be fascinating how this one plays out. I've been back and forth quite a bit. I think if Simone went in with the idea of keeping this fight standing, I would really like Simone here because Yaya has very little stand-up game. I also think that there's some risk here in Yaya. He's known as a gasser and whatnot, so we'll see if that happens. But I'm really going to split this one down the middle. I don't know if I actually want a ton of exposure here at all. I think the fight A is very tough to call. I don't think it's easy to. I'm fascinated to hear what you and Kyle have to say, but I don't think it's an easy call at all. I think Yaya can win it if it goes to the ground. I think if Simone wants to win, he'll keep it standing, but it might not score that much. In that scenario. So my issue is I don't think Simone is going to score a ton trying to keep it standing against Yaya. So it doesn't excite me there. And Yaya needs a submission off his back really to get this win, which I don't think will score a lot. So I'm kind of not excited about this fight is the way I'm going to finish off. But I'm excited to watch it, but not excited to play it on DraftKings.
See, I'm going to go, we agree, but slightly differently here. So I'm taking Rani Yahya as my pick. It is a really close fight. I think though, even if you're leaning the Simone direction, I think Yahya is the better DraftKings play. I'll have some Simone in case he ends up in top position and has a strong enough top game where he's able to avoid these submission, gets the takedowns and scores decent. I think on a card where, like Kyle mentioned, not a lot of underdogs, I tend to focus on the mid-range a little more, so I'm in this range a little more than usual. But Yaya is the better play in that I just, watching his game, he's so good on the ground. At some point, you kind of alluded to it, at some point this fight is going to hit the ground. And I just think Yaya will find the submission. If it's in the first round, it's at least 90 points. And at 8,000, it's already 11.5K. And say he's not going to get any strikes or anything else in there. Also, he could get a sweep and end up in top position. If any point Rani Yahya gets taken down and sweeps and he's on top, I'd be hard-pressed not to think the fight is over. And 8,000, any kind of finish, he's going to be flirting with the optimal lineup on this card. So I'm picking Yahya. It is really close because if Simone keeps it on the feet, he does have an advantage. But in that type of win, he does not score well for DraftKings for me. So close fight, picking Yahya. But I'm even heavily more exposed to Yaya in terms of being the better DraftKings play. Kyle, how about for you?
It's tough to call. I do think Simone can use his wrestling to keep this on the feet, but Yaya is just going to shoot so much that I am worried he's going to just grab onto the leg and keep working for that takedown until he gets one.
Or pull guard.
See, I'm not worried. I'm really not too worried about him on his back. I'm actually okay with Simone going for takedowns. I would prefer him to go for takedowns. I'm worried about Yaya on top. I think if he gets on top, fight's close to over. But if Simone can keep this standing or get takedowns and heavy top pressure, ground and pound, I think he can get a knockout here. Or just win a decision. What I'm worried about though is the decision, because if this is like one of those Maya versus the wrestler fights, there wasn't a whole lot of striking in those fights either. So that's kind of what I'm worried about is, Simone being a little too tentative, staying on the outside, making sure that Yaya can't take him down and just picking his, spots, because that just won't score high at all. So I think Yaya really does have the higher ceiling here. Like you said, first round submission is going to get him 90 to 97 points. So I'm definitely on some Yaya, but I'm kind of hoping Simone goes out there and gets the knockout, because that's really the only way he scores highly. I'm impressed with what I've seen with this kid. I do want him to win because I want him to keep moving up. I do have him in a good amount of lives. I don't know how much. I think I probably have 20 to 25% Simone, and I got a little bit less Yaya. But I think if you're just making, you know, like 10 lineups or something, and you have a preference, especially if it's Simone, I think you should just make that same lineup, throw Yaya in there, and leave 200 or whatever it is on the table. It makes it a little bit contrarian, but you got the hedge either way. So if your other five fights are right, you're sitting pretty maybe for that 30K.
Sorry about that, guys. I had to mute myself and cough. Fun week in a February winter, whereas probably hot as all hell down there in Australia right now. Now that I think about it. All right, moving on to next fight on the card, which coughing just jacked everything up. Israel Adesanya, 9,600, taking on Anderson Silva at 6,600. We are living in a world where Anderson Silva is a +425 underdog. Israel Adesanya is the favorite, -525 inside the distance. Anderson Silva inside the distance, +660. Adesanya inside the distance, -150 to finish arguably. I don't know if I want to give him GOAT status, especially after the steroid thing, but the middleweight GOAT. We can probably say that pretty comfortably. Look, Israel Adesanya, everyone knows the fight breakdown on this. They say they're going to stand and trade. Adesanya has that crazy stand-up style that is like Anderson Silva 2.0 Silva, you know, super fast counter-striker all of his career. But Adesanya is kind of that new breed. It's old guard versus new guard. We've seen all this before. But what I want to drive at from a DraftKings breakdown, well, I'm picking Adesanya to win. That, by the way, is contingent. He doesn't come out gun-shy. If he's starstruck at all, this is going to be a problem and a closer fight than people think. Or if Anderson Silva can turn back the clock at all, same thing. I don't think that happens. My pick is Adesanya, but he's 9.6K in a striking match. If he doesn't finish in the first round, he's hard-pressed to end up on the optimal lineup, especially on, not to, you know, beat a dead horse, on a card where we don't have a ton of underdogs. Like, 12x is the rule our friend Sun Tzu goes by. That's 119.2 points. That's a ton here. That's even a first round finish. You better have a ton of strikes and a knockdown. I'm not sure that happens here. I think they're going to stand at range, strike for a little while. Maybe he gets a finish in the second round. And that could still be 90 points. That's fine for your cash games. It's not going to get it done in tournaments. I do think he wins, but for me, there's other people in that range I'm more invested in to think are very likely to win, are grappling base, which favors the DraftKings scoring, and aren't facing Anderson Silva. I have a hard time laying money down against Anderson Silva, even if it is Israel Adesanya, in not his home country, home part of the world, in a title eliminator. Which, by the way, has anyone had an easier path to a title fight than Israel Adesanya if he gets it done? Split decision against Marvin Vettori, beat a crippled Brad Tavares, beat Derek Brunson, who just ran at him, and he beat, was there's one more in there, a, who am I forgetting, guys? There's four fights, and Rob Wilkinson. So, you know, split decision.
Wilkinson was his debut, I believe.
Right. I would like to see Adesanya versus Tavares again, where Tavares isn't crippled and can shoot a takedown. But, and that being said, by the way, Silva has a BJJ black belt, which we never see him really use except for on his back against Chael Sonnen. If he's hitting the poor end of a striking exchange, can you imagine if he shoots on Israel Adesanya? I don't, it'd be the highlight of the night for me. And if this fight hits the ground for whatever ungodly reason, for whatever low probability that is, if the fight ends up there, Anderson Silva is dangerous. Like, he's a longtime BJJ black belt, and I don't think Adesanya's got a ground game at all. So, probably won't come into factor here, but worth mentioning. Adesanya's the pick if I'm going to play either one of these guys. Oh, that's what I wanted to touch on. My playing these guys. Adesanya, I think, too expensive, gonna be owned. Not gonna go there. I don't mind punting Anderson Silva, in cash games for the cheap price and filling in with four or five other favorites. Don't mind that strategy at all, and I'll have very little bit, like 10 to 20% max, Anderson Silva, in GPPs. Kyle, how about for you?
Yeah, I'm real impressed with Israel. When I watched film on him before that debut, I was telling people I haven't been this excited about a debut fighter since Conor McGregor, since I did film on him. And I was just blown away by both of them, said that they'll both be champions, and I think I'm about to be right. Because I think he wins this fight, and I think he wins his next fight for the belt as well. I think, he's had an easy road, I guess, if you want to say it, but who else are you going to give him? You know what I'm saying? I'll take him easily over a Tavares rematch all day.
Romero.
I don't think Tavares is anywhere near his level, so I think we'd have to go up a level above that to like a Rockhold, but now he's not even in the division, so I feel like Yoel would be the only other one.
That's and a problem. The UFC does not want to give him that fight because I think they know what will happen.
I would love to see that fight, actually. But
Yoel would murder this guy, by the way. I'm sorry. Yoel would destroy Adesanya. It wouldn't even be close.
All right. I guess maybe we'll see. But agree to disagree. But no, I think he's going to prove again that he is the best striker in the division. He's going to beat the old best striker in the division. And I think the first round knockout is live, so I'm definitely going to have some Adesanya. However, I am picking him to win a decision, so I definitely don't think he's a must at all, and I like the route with Silva if you're trying to get him with three rounds of striking, maybe take 30 and a loss. I'm okay with that in all formats. I probably won't be too high on it just because I think he's also got a 0 point floor, so maybe 5 to 10% max. And then Adesanya, I'm cool with going, you know, a little bit north of 20, but definitely not too high. I do think he beats whoever wins the main event, though. And if you guys want to put money on that, I'm down to talk after this.
I think, by the way, whoever wins this fight, if Silva pulls it off, I think either of these guys beat either of the potential main event champions.
You're nuts. All right. That's ridiculous. Anderson Silva is not beating Bobby Knuckles. All right, it's crazy. But I will tell you this. I agree, Sean. This is a fade fight for me. And it's the same reason, Kyle, you just said. Adesanya, sure, he's awesome. Love the guy. Great. Style bender. All good. But 9,600? This is a difficult card to find enough value to even make at the lower echelons to make a reasonable lineup at all. So the last thing I want to do on a card without many blue chip underdogs, and I haven't seen a single really underdog, a heavy underdog that is getting a lot of interest, you know, or where the lines are being flamed, that's screaming as a cash play as of yet. Unless,
thank God, by the way, because I'm sick of people like Hamosh putting up 1 point.
Forcing us, but yeah. I'd never play Hamos in that fight, really, because it comes too close. But then, you know, you got to play the line value, and you get your zero. So that's annoying. I do have one guy that I kind of like as an underdog, but that's coming up for the undercards. But no, in this case, what about Anderson Silva as just a cash punt? You know, you just say, YOLO, fuck it. I'll take the $6,600 guy, right? He's cheap. Okay, the fight probably, this is Anderson Silva, a legend. So even in a loss, you know, he should score some points. It's not like his opponent is going to be going for takedowns. Even in the loss to Bisping, you know, he put up 75 strikes. This guy lands a lot of strikes. So, you know, as long as he's standing and throwing punches, I don't think he's going to get a lot of volume. But if he can get you 20 or 30 strikes and 15 points for 6,600, for example, and what if he gets a miracle finish somehow, or he takes the guy down and gets a submission, uses a skill we've never seen? You never know. It's Anderson Silva. He's a spider. He's a legend. But more so, Adesanya, in order for him to pay off, he's got to knock out one of the greatest strikers. I'm just not sure. It could happen, but even if it does happen, is he going to score enough? He could get a 110. He's not going for takedowns. So, you know, if he did a Brunson thing and got three knockdowns, sure, he can kick some ass. He was 9,100 in that fight, so not as bad. But at this price, and now it's going to force you to go three punts in order to field a reasonable lineup? No, he's not going to score enough, most likely, to pay off on this 9,600 salary, especially shown on a card that you said, and I agree, there's a lot of potential finishes here. So this isn't a card like last week where no one got a finish and you get your 80s and your 90s in the winning lineup. There's a lot of potential finishes on this card. So now I'm going to fade Adesanya, even though I think he will win. I like his game, but I disagree, Kyle, that he is the next champion. He's got holes in his game. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe.
But what's his holes?
His holes are he has no ground game whatsoever.
Is Whitaker going to expose that?
Probably not. Probably not Whitaker.
Next champ. About to give that little spoiler alert, but
Gaston. Right.
Whitaker breaks his hand in every fight, so this next fight with Whitaker is going to be like in 3 years from now. But I mean, like, has he ever gotten through a fight without breaking something? He just that is automatic. So anyway, I don't want to go fast forward to the next analysis. But yeah, fuck Adesanya at that price. I'm not paying it.
Well, you can kind of jump to the next fight because that's what we're up to. We're up to our main event. Robert Whittaker, 8,900, taking on Kelvin Gastelum at 7,300 for the UFC middleweight championship. Robert Whittaker, -225. The comeback on Kelvin is +205. Fight does not go to decision, -175. The over-under is at 3.5 rounds. That is pick'em, -110 apiece. Whittaker inside the distance, +152. Gastelum inside the distance, +270, 7,300. That's worth looking at in GPPs odds-wise. But Kyle, this is your fight to break down. Take it away.
Yeah, we got two stand-up strikers where I don't see a single takedown happening unless somebody's rocked and it's just to kind of recoup. I think this is going to stay standing as long as it lasts. And that's kind of what I don't like about it. This is one of the few fights where I'm really not in love with the stack since there are going to be no takedowns. If there's no takedowns and there's no finish, we might be looking at 100 total points. And that's not what I'm looking for when I'm stacking. I want a minimum of 100 points when I'm stacking with upside of 150, 160, 170. And I don't think we have that in this fight. I think Whittaker is the better stand-up striker. I think he's going to be faster. I think he's going to be stronger. He looks in better shape. He doesn't look sick at all.
Doesn't have staff.
I just think he's going to go out there and dominate this fight. I just think Kelvin's too tough to go down, so I see this going for five rounds. Maybe Kelvin takes a round or two, but there's no way he's going to pull out a decision win over there in Australia. So he has to knock out Whittaker to get the win here. And I think Whittaker is just, I mean, he's not the best play because he's 8,900. If he does get a decision win, maybe he gets 10x. But I don't think 10x gets the job done with all these other guys on the card. So, that kind of leads me over to the Gastelum knockout. If he wins, it has to be by knockout. If he gets the knockout, he scores highly. There's not a lot of dogs to like on this card. I ended up getting a lot more Gastelum than I planned on because if he wins, he's for sure going to be on that $30,000 lineup. That's not the same for Whittaker. If Whittaker wins, he might not be on the lineup. So, I actually think Gastelum is the better play, even though I'm taking Whittaker and kind of confidently taking Whittaker to win. I'm probably going to be pretty evenly exposed, but maybe, higher on Gastelum just in case he could pull it out because we got to find the dog somewhere and he's got probably the highest floor with it going five rounds and the highest ceiling with the knockout as well. So you got to like some Gastelum at that price, but my pick is Whittaker. By unanimous decision.
I'll bite my tongue for right now. Kevin, what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, totally correct. You're going to see two stand-up strikers here going at it, and it's tough to trust. I love Bobby Knuckles, and I'll share a story. When I met Bobby Knux, I asked him.
A close personal friend.
He's a friend of mine, or we've hung out. We've hung out. We don't always hang out when he comes to town, but we hung out the one time. And I asked him, what's up with Bobby Knuckles? You're okay with that? Because people used to say he didn't like that name. He does like the name. He's down with it. So it's okay to use it. But yeah, these are two stand-up strikers. And this isn't a great matchup for Whitaker in the sense that Gastelum could land a strike here. This is going to be two strikers throwing bombs. And while I think Whitaker is the better fighter, he also, as I was saying just before, gets hurt a lot during fights, which is, odd and, you know, not ideal. Is there in essence a chance that he loses this? Sure. Gastelum's a beast. When we've seen Gastelum lose, he got taken down and grinded out, and then he gassed, to Weidman, and that was the end of him, right? And I picked Gastelum, but this is not how this fight's gonna go down. This fight's gonna go down two men standing, throwing bombs. And we saw Yoel Romero rock Whitaker pretty intensely without a whole lot of volume. And I think that Gastelum has just as much of a chance of doing that. For that reason, when you're looking at this fight the question is, should we stack this in cash, right? And I'm sure that is the big question that we're all talking about. We're all thinking about. We're all asking it. Is this it seems like an easy answer. Sure. Yeah. Let's stack this shit. But really, should we? Or should we just use the underdog? And then if he wins, great. You now took a $7,300 fighter who wins. And I think he's got a shot to win. I think he can get a knockout. Now, do I think he's going to? No, I'm going to lean that Whitaker's going to hold on because I think Whitaker is just to beat Yoel Romero is not normal. Yoel Romero is a machine. I didn't think Whitaker won the second fight, but, you know, to beat him or even make it that close is pretty incredible. He's a really great fighter. But that said, you can get knocked out against Gastelum. He stands there and he wings bombs. And he's going to land some bombs on Whitaker. There's going to be some scary moments. Now, if he lands one of those bombs and it rocks him and he jumps on top and all of a sudden, boom, 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 and it's over, that can happen. Now, Kyle, what would you say the chances of that happening are? Like, give me a percentage odds of Gastelum just landing a big shot and, you know, rocking him and boom, boom, and it's over at some point.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's almost built into the line because I feel like that's literally the only way he can win this fight because he's not going to get a submission and he's not going to get the knockout. So I don't know. I feel like if you're betting Gastelum, you're just betting the knockout. So I would just completely take the knockout line instead of betting him straight.
100%. Absolutely. But I mean, would you give it like 25% chance that that happens?
Nah, I would say less than that.
20?
Getting closer. Yeah, I don't really know. I don't know.
My point is there's reasonable odds that I think this fight is closer than the odds indicate anyway. But my issue with Whitaker is how much is he really going to score for $8,900 as compared to some of these other guys that you could pay a similar amount or maybe a little bit more, a little bit less. Like, if you look at, some of these other guys that are in that range that seem to have a much higher likelihood of a high action fight, of a finish, of actually winning the fight. Because the odds on Whitaker are not as great to win as someone like, let's see. Well, I'll just show you right now. Shane Young at -305 is a little bit better. Kyung Ho Kang at -345. Groovy at -430. So in cash, for example, I can get -430 on Groovy in a fight where he's probably going to get a quick knockout, or Kang who can wrestle and score a lot of points against Ishihara. You know, there's a few other guys here that feel safer for cash to me than Bobby Whitaker, even though it's a five-round fight. So, you know, if we're talking about making the argument against stacking this fight in cash, because I think, you know, the breakdown is what it is. Gastelum and Whitaker are similar fighters. Whitaker is a little bit better. Okay. But either one can knock the other one out, and neither one is going for takedowns. So I think I'm more interested in how much can Whitaker score if he wins compared to some of these other guys? And is it worth getting off Whitaker in cash and getting onto one of these other guys like a Shane Young or a Kyung Ho Kang who have better odds or Groovy? Or do you play it safe and say, fuck it, I'm going to take this fight, I'm going to stack it, and make sure that I get 115, 120 points in a five-rounder?
I also think you can fade the main event in cash as well.
In cash? Yeah. I mean, I guess if you didn't want to use Gastelum. Sure, I don't see why I wouldn't want to use Gastelum in cash, though. I don't think Gastelum's getting knocked out quick. And for 7,300, I feel like I do want to use that. And I think he has a chance to win. So, but more so, I think he can land 100 strikes and a loss.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Gastelum will be the play, though. If you're not stacking it, you go with Gastelum.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm on team stack this week. Just, and part of it could be a little bit of recency bias from last week where I played Justin Underdog and that went horribly wrong.
I would have said this last week too, which is messed up. Like the exact same scenario happened last week. Almost the same pricing and the same likelihood of a high score. So that definitely happened last week exactly like this.
It's just, it's with so few underdogs. This is, I want to just take my points on what I think is going to be a pretty volatile card. And I do lean Robert Whittaker pretty heavily to get a win. I think more so than either of you. What's interesting, and I'll get to that in a second, I do agree with what Kyle said, though, in that Gastelum is the better DraftKings play, because if he wins, or DraftKings, sorry, he's the better GPP play only, because if he wins, he's on the optimal lineup. If he wins by knockout. He wins inside the distance. That's the only way I see Gastelum winning. I have a lot of exposure to Gastelum and GPPs, but the flip side, for cash games anyway, I want my Bobby Knuckles exposure. Because I do think he wins. He's just the all-around better fighter. By the way, we talked about easy roads to a championship fight. Just look at Kelvin Gastelum real quick. It's kind of a joke. It is outside of Jacare Souza. That was a good win. He beat the ghost of Michael Bisping, who just was destroyed a few weeks prior to that by GSP. Then he lost to Chris Weidman, was three fights ago, so he's 2-1 in his last three. Before that, he beat the ghost of Vitor Belfort, and before that, he beat a depleted Tim Kennedy and Johnny Hendricks. And before that, a loss to Neil Magny at welterweight. So how impressive is his run, really? Excuse me. They need a warm body here for Whittaker. I think it's a good fight for him. I wish that Gastelum has a takedown game, but if Romero couldn't get Whittaker to the ground, Kelvin's not going to do it. I wish Whittaker was a little bit bigger for the weight class. He's not the smallest guy. Gastelum is undersized. He should be at welterweight if he didn't love tacos. Because Gastelum really struggles when he's at a size disadvantage. Look at Weidman. Weidman is massive for that division. Magny was a rangy guy. He struggled there too. I just think Whittaker wins. I think this fight ends inside the distance. I think it's going to be Gastelum early landing one of these bombs, or it's going to be Whittaker dragging Gastelum into deep water in that third, fourth round, finishing and finding a finish. It could go to decision for Bobby Knuckles, but ultimately these guys are active enough on the feet. It could be a little bit of last week getting to me. I just, every time I build a lineup, the stack makes sense to me. There's going to be, yes, they're going to be striking, but I don't think it's going to be a stand and stare at each other type of striking match. The one thing I am worried about Robert Whittaker before we wrap up the free portion here is that there's a little bit of parallels years ago to when Tyron Woodley became champion. In that, I've also seen people say Gastelum is only going to win inside the distance, and Whittaker just survived 10 rounds with Yoel Romero, which is true. But everybody said something similar with Robbie Lawler when he just survived 10 rounds against Carlos Condit. Like, those wars take it out of you. In the first strike Tyron Woodley landed, Robbie Lawler went to sleep. If the first 1-2, which is what mostly Gastelum throws, by the way, is the 1-2. If the first one were to put Bobby Knuckles down, it wouldn't be the most stunning thing I've seen. Like, MMA age catch-ups too quick. I don't know if it's going to happen here. But it's definitely something to look forward with Robert Whittaker. Those two wars against Romero 100% shortened his career, where he already gets hurt every fight. So I'm picking Whittaker. I'm going to stack in cash games, but I'll probably actually have more Gastelum in GPP. So that's what we got for the free portion, guys. If you're not a DFS Army VIP, I gave you all the codes early in the podcast. Make sure go to dfsarmy.com, sign up, become a VIP, listen to the rest of this podcast, check out all the other resources. If you are a VIP, give us a quick second here, and we will break down the rest of these fights.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get 2 free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.